The Ozarks at Large podcast is made possible by KUAF's contributing listeners. Support from individual listeners in our community helps pay for the cost of producing and distributing this podcast. If you'd like to support this podcast and other digital media produced by KUAF, you can make a contribution at supportkuaf.com.
This is a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas, 91.3 KUAF, and this is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, October 3rd, 2018. I'm Kyle Kellums. Ahead this hour, transportation updates. The Springdale Municipal Airport is open again with an improved runway, and about 5,000 riders have used a new bike share program at the University of Arkansas and in the city of Fayetteville. Details ahead. This afternoon on NPR's Here and Now, classmates from high school and college are coming forward to describe Brett Kavanaugh's behavior as the FBI investigates allegations of sexual assault. Our political strategists will weigh in on how the Kavanaugh nomination might have an impact on the November midterms. Here and Now, from 1 until 3 this afternoon on 91.3 KUAF. The 20th annual Herb Fest in Mountain View begins tomorrow. This year, the festival will celebrate the foods, folkways, and herbs of the southern United States. That's south of U.S. Highway 40. A feast that is herb-inspired begins at 6 tomorrow night with a garden party reception sponsored and produced by the Herb Society of America Ozark Unit. Cost? $30. There are many other events, workshops, and public talks associated with the weekend throughout the weekend. You can find out more at the website for the Ozark Folk Center. That is ozarkfolkcenter.com. And thanks for spending part of your Wednesday with Ozarks at Large. Nationwide, some of the biggest producers of carbon emissions are coal-fired power plants. But now, even the companies that own and operate coal plants are making the shift to cleaner energy. Daniel Breen has this story produced for Arkansas Public Media.
Under the Environmental Protection Agency's regional haze rule, states that didn't meet air quality and visibility goals risked triggering federal controls. But now the EPA is steadily giving control back into the hands of states. Arkansas's plan, which is awaiting final approval, calls for one of its largest coal-fired plants, the White Bluff plant south of Little Rock, to stop burning coal within the next 10 years.
Coal used to be a bigger part of our portfolio, but now it's a smaller part. It's all driven by economics.
That's Kurt Castleberry. He directs resource planning and market operations at Entergy Arkansas, the primary owner of the White Bluff plant. Environmental regulations aside, he says it serves electric utilities' bottom line to stop burning coal.
Natural gas is really cheap right now because there's a big supply, and we expect that supply to be there for a long time.
Entergy's usage of White Bluff and its Independence plant in northeast Arkansas dropped in 2015 as natural gas prices steadily declined, according to a spokeswoman. Castleberry says about 10% of Entergy Arkansas's total power production comes from its two coal-fired plants. About two-thirds, he says, comes from Arkansas Nuclear One near Russellville. Arkansas has four coal-fired plants in total, but the biggest producers belong to Entergy. Its Independence plant, along with White Bluff, have a capacity of over 3,000 megawatts combined. The federal haze plan, which is currently being replaced by the state plan, called for federally owned lands like national parks to have normal visibility conditions by 2064. That meant cutting down on the most common causes of haze, emissions of nitrogen oxides and sulfur dioxide from coal plants. The federal plan mandated installing scrubbers that control those emissions at both White Bluff and Independence. But the new state plan doesn't require scrubbers at either plant. Castleberry says that would have cost billions of dollars and could have impacted Arkansas's third in the nation cheapest energy prices.
Absent that, we'd have to invest a lot of money, which would drive rates up. But this plan still, we're still in compliance with the rule, the regional haze rule from the EPA, and ADEQ has proposed that, and we're 100% behind it. We fully support it.
At nearly 40 years, Castleberry says both White Bluff and Independence wouldn't be generating power long enough into the future to pay for the cost of the scrubbers. Glenn Hooks with the Arkansas Sierra Club says it's reassuring that utility companies now have a bigger incentive to move toward cheaper, cleaner power sources, like solar, where prices have fallen by almost half in the past 5 years.
Even our state's biggest coal producers and coal burners, that's Entergy and the Arkansas Electric Cooperatives, are building solar farms in Arkansas at utility scale. They're importing hundreds of megawatts of wind from our neighbors, and they're starting to rely more and more on the fact that clean energy is affordable.
Hooks is disheartened, though, that coal will keep burning at both plants for the next 10 years. Castleberry says Entergy will eventually decide the fate of the Independence plant. The EPA is expected to approve Arkansas's final haze rule by early next year. In Little Rock, I'm Daniel Breen, Arkansas Public Media.
Support for KUAF and Arkansas Public Media comes from Hot Springs Village. Those looking for a place filled with arts, culture, dining, and entertainment can find it at Hot Springs Village, where visitors can golf, boat, hike, or play all day. Information at explorethevillage.com. Additional support for KUAF and Arkansas Public Media comes from Simmons Bank, with more than 90 community-based locations in Arkansas, providing banking and lending services. Dreams realized. SimmonsBank.com for more. 91.3 is supported by the Walmart Museum, a family-friendly experience featuring interactive displays on the history of Walmart, Walton's Five and Dime, and the Spark Cafe Soda Fountain, located on the square in downtown Bentonville, open daily until 9 p.m. Admission is free. 273-1329 or WalmartMuseum.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. One of the state's busiest airports is open again. The Springdale Municipal Airport's runway was closed for about 2 weeks, so the 5,300-foot runway could be resurfaced and LED lighting could be installed. Officials celebrated the completion of the $2.2 million project with a ribbon-cutting ceremony yesterday afternoon. Airport manager James Smith says it's been about a decade since the last time the runway was rejuvenated.
The pilots are going to love it for the fact that it was starting to break down. The gaps was getting too big in joints. And now with this paved job, the weather was perfect, so they went from end to end with no joints. So it's beautiful asphalt from end to end out there. So it'll last another 10 years before we have to do anything with it.
The project was paid for through grants from the Federal Aviation Administration and the state Arkansas Department of Aeronautics. Smith says the airport's next project is in the design phase.
I think our next major project is we're going to take the east taxiway and extend it full length to the north. So it'll go and tie into the north end of the runway, so all of our customers over there don't have to cross the runway. They can go full length and take off without having to cross the runway and then go down this end.
Smith says he expects to start that project in 2 years. Now, since the city of Fayetteville and the University of Arkansas launched a joint bike share program about 2 weeks ago, Dane Eifling, the bicycle and pedestrian coordinator for both the U of A and the city of Fayetteville, says they've hit about 5,000 rides.
Which is very encouraging, very, very, very strong ridership. Even for a launch period where people are still just trying it out, that is great.
Eifling acknowledges that dockless bike share systems do come with some parking issues.
It's tough to anticipate exactly where those issues are going to happen. We had an idea of some places, but we've been surprised by some of the places that we're having issues. By and large, most people are doing a good job.
By that, Eifling means they're parking the bikes at bike racks, which he adds is the best place to leave a bike share bike once users are done with it.
But we realize that a bike rack might not be at every destination, but we encourage people, if you can see a bike rack from where you're at, just cross the street or go a little bit further, go that extra mile and just do the courteous thing for everyone. Park it at a bike rack.
Eifling says they're working to address parking issues by adding more bike racks around the city and the university campus.
But if there is no bike rack available, number one thing, just make sure that it's out of the way, that it won't fall into the street or that it won't be on somebody's property. You're blocking an access point, and especially the sidewalks. If you're getting off the bike, you're a pedestrian at that point, so you want a free sidewalk just like everybody else. It's a public right-of-way.
Eifling says not everyone will follow good bike sharing parking etiquette, so they're working with VioRide, the bike share vendor, to send messages to users who park their bikes in ways that block right-of-ways or end up on private property.
If you do park a bike in an area that later goes on to be receive a complaint, or when the rebalancing staff comes out and they see that it's parked in an inappropriate spot, you're going to get a message to your phone, through the app or to your phone, warning you essentially that there was a complaint about the parking with that bike. And then if it's a persistent repeat issue, that there are fees associated with that. So we do have a way to enforce good practices.
And if you've been hesitant to try out the new bike share program, you'll have an opportunity this week at First Thursday in Fayetteville during what Eifling calls a slow roll ride. The bike share bikes will be free, and the ride will be 3 miles from the square, around town, then back to the square. This is Ozarks at Large on 91.3 KUAF, your public radio station. With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio, Lee Wood, membership director at KUAF. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Last week, we had the on-air fundraiser, which culminated a month-long fundraising effort.
Absolutely. We counted all the gifts we received and all pledges we received in the month of September, counted them all up, and got pretty darn close to our overall goal. We wanted to raise $150,000 by Friday evening, last Friday evening, we ended up around $143,000. Okay. So came a little short. More than 1,000 gifts came in. So actually 1,085 gifts. Some people are so nice, they give twice. So we can't say that that was definitely 1,000 individuals, but it's close. And it shows you the number of people that it takes, you know, to give and their gifts adding to this total. So we are a little bit short. Of course, you can always give. Maybe you were out of town. It was a really busy week, especially the end of the week with Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue. If you missed it, if you weren't able to give, you can always give at supportkuaf.com. And hopefully, you know, the first 2 weeks of this month will make up a little bit of that gap.
Well, what I think someone listening to us talk will say is, well, what happens if you're $7,000 short of that goal?
We have to make it up. So we set these goals because, especially with the on-air fundraisers, and if you've been a long-time listener of KUAF, you might notice that the fundraising goals stay the same. And it's because we have so much revenue, monthly revenue, coming in from sustainers. We have an incredibly successful sustainer program, and that really does translate to a lot of reliable monthly money coming in. So overall, our membership revenue is up and has been steadily increasing in small amounts year over year. We're in good shape. We continue to do on-air fundraisers because that's the most direct way to communicate to our listeners and educate them on how the public radio model works for funding and to appeal to those listeners who have never given a gift. It is absolutely the best way to get new donors to the station. So we'll continue to do that and also to ask donors if they're new or if they've given before to consider becoming a sustainer. So we'll always have to do that. But, you know, if we're short a little bit on that fundraising goal, we'll have to think about ways throughout the year to supplement a little bit of our income.
Is it worth noting that the last on-air fundraiser that just completed last week was 5 days? And in the past, the on-air fundraisers have been as long as 10 days at times.
Yes, absolutely. We've definitely made an effort in the last several years to shorten the period of time that we are live on the air. It, you know, in essence, and sometimes interrupting ongoing programming, because we want to stick to our normal programming as much as we possibly can. We know that's why you're tuning in and listening. So we really have made an effort to fundraise Monday through Friday, 5 days. But as you can expect, we do a lot of promoting ahead of time. So we let you know it's coming up. That's why we do a fundraising month in the fall, to give you an opportunity to give all month long. But I do think it is important that we don't take up too much time. And people love a deadline. I mean, it is proven in fundraising that you need to give somebody a deadline and give them a sense of urgency to really push them to make that decision.
The line is longer when I go to the courthouse to pay property taxes in mid-October than, say, it is in late July.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. You still can support us at supportkuaf.com.
Always. And, we'll of course, have another fundraiser in December, and that one has a different kind of feel to it. But we do fundraise all year long, and so you can always support this public radio station online at supportkuaf.com.
Lee Wood is our membership director. Thank you, Lee.
Thank you, Kyle.
Jersey Boys returns to Walton Arts Center for 5 performances October 5th through the 7th. This Broadway musical tells the behind-the-scenes story of Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons. It includes music like Sherry, Walk Like a Man, and Big Girls Don't Cry. The 2013 Northwest Arkansas performances played to sold-out audiences. WaltonArtsCenter.org or 443-5600 for tickets. The Komen Ozark 11th Annual Swing for the Cure Golf Classic is October 12th at Shadow Valley Country Club in Rogers. This 18-hole scramble tournament offers morning and afternoon flights, lunch, prizes, and more. Proceeds to benefit Susan G. Komen Ozark. More available at KomenOzark.org or 750-PINK.
This is Ozarks at Large, and believe it or not, the first weekend of October is just a few days away. And something you'll probably believe if you've lived in this area for a while is, well, there's plenty to do, plenty of options for the first weekend of October. The Jones Center in Springdale will host the third annual Springdale Downtown Runaround Saturday. The Downtown Runaround starts at 8:30 in the morning. It's a one-mile fun run followed by the start of the 5K and the 10K. Registration and more information available at thejonescenter.net/downtown-runaround. The Wood Cemetery Association will hold a reunion for all family and friends of anyone buried in the Wood Cemetery in Little Flock. This will take place Friday and Saturday beginning at 10 at Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Rogers. Many Pioneer families, including Woods and Dixons, are buried in the cemetery. If you'd like more information, this is a phone number, 925-8259. The Friends of the Library semi-annual used book sale is at the Bentonville Public Library Friday and Saturday. Thousands of items will be for sale, including new and used books, magazines, DVDs, and CDs. All proceeds will be used to benefit the collections and other special needs of the Bentonville Public Library. If you'd like to know more about this sale, bentonvillelibrary.org. And finally, Amy Leisure will lead a hand-building workshop creating functional stoneware leaf platters. This takes place at Ozark Folkways in Winslow on Saturday. Participants will return Saturday, November 3rd, to then glaze their pieces. Clay and tools will be provided. There is a fee for this workshop. If you'd like to know more about that fee or just more information about the workshop, OzarkFolkways.org.
It's the Community Spotlight on KUAF. I'm Pete Hartman in the Nancy Blair Operations Studio this morning with Brandon Swoboda. Brandon is the relatively new Executive Director for Habitat for Humanity of Washington County, so we thought it'd be a good idea to hear from you guys again. Brandon, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me.
How long have you been in this capacity?
I've been here for 4 months.
Okay. Are you from the area or did you just come around?
You know, my wife is from Arkansas. She's from Little Rock. Okay. We met in college. I'm from Texas.
Okay.
So that's how I got back to Arkansas. I was working for another small business and saw the opportunity. So I put my resume in and it was a great fit. I've got a background of working with low-income families through church work as well as through my own small business. And so it was a great fit. In 1976, Habitat for Humanity was started. The idea was that there were low-income families who would never have the opportunity to achieve home ownership. So collectively, the whole could help low-income families to get there. And so since 1976, that's what we've been doing. There is an affordable housing crisis right now in the area. There's not enough rental property, quality rental property for low-income families. And so they're having to move 10, 11, 12 times in a lifetime, which can greatly impact their children in a negative way. These are hardworking families that are trying to make it, but like some of us, they may never be able to save up that 10% for a down payment or that 20% for a down payment or have the credit score they quite need to be able to apply for a loan. So they come and become part of our program, and then they build their home with volunteers and with the community, and at the end, they buy the home from us. It's a hand up, not a handout. We don't give away these homes. These homeowners have worked for it. They've put in the time. They've put in the energy. They may have even put a little bit of finances in it as well. Then they buy the home from us at a zero interest loan and pay that over 20, 25, 35 years. What comes to us is we pay their taxes, their insurance. What's left over goes back into a fund to help build the next home.
Wow.
For the next family.
If you'd like to help out, there's a current build in Springdale. Also looking for 4 plots really quickly here in Fayetteville to get some housing up for people who are needing stable housing.
That's correct, yes.
Excellent.
I love being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's the Community Spotlight on KUAF. Remember, if something cool in your neighborhood is taking place, let me know. Email me at pete@kuaf.com.
It's the first Wednesday of October, and like many other Wednesdays, I move next door to the Harold and Blanchcock News Studio to talk to Timothy Dennis about live music opportunities. Timothy, how are you this Wednesday?
I am wonderful. How are you, Kyle?
Pretty good, thank you.
This weekend, Friday night especially, is a big night for music.
Okay.
Let's start in Fayetteville. Smoke and Barrel Tavern is going to have some psychedelic jazz from Tulsa with Combsy.
Okay.
That show gets underway at about 10 o'clock, and it has a $5 cover. Moving up the road to Springdale Friday night, Crash Blossom will be at Black Apple Crossing.
Do I know Crash Blossom?
They're a synth-pop indie rock band from Fayetteville.
Okay.
That show at Black Apple Crossing is from 8 to 10 p.m. Friday night. Moving kind of north and west up to Bentonville, Meteor Guitar Gallery is going to have an incredible blues guitarist by the name of Eric Gales.
He is incredible.
He's originally from Memphis. He's now based in Greensboro, North Carolina, and he has some pretty big name fans like Eric Clapton, Joe Bonamassa. They all rave about this guy. Tickets are $30 in advance, $50 day of.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It pays to call ahead.
It really does pay to call ahead in this instance. And that show Friday night at the Meteor is from 8 to 11 p.m. Moving back east over to Eureka Springs, Chelsea's is going to have a band called Strahan and the Good Neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
They're an Austin-based Americana rock band is what I would consider them. Out of time. A troubadour lost in the woods, cobbling mad rhymes, singing from the treetops to the crowd in his mind. Sometimes I'm cloudy, sometimes I'm blue. And that show gets underway at Chelsea's at about 9 o'clock. Now, going south down to Fort Smith. I'm okay. All about directions
yes,
today.
Yes, yes.
Harry's Downtown is going to have Carter Sampson.
Really?
Yes.
When is this Friday night?
It's Friday night.
Okay.
That show is actually a bargain. It's only $5.
You know, I'm like one of the world's biggest Carter Sampson
fans. Oh, I know you are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I know you are. And that show gets underway at Harry's Downtown at 9 p.m.
Friday night. All right.
So that's Friday okay. night. Moving on to Saturday, Smoke and Barrel Tavern in Fayetteville is going to have the next On the Map show featuring Montreal-based rockers Ought. O-U-G-H-T.
Okay.
Sam, what is that sensation?
They are joined on that bill by the Fayetteville-based Ankle Pop, and that show has a $14 cover, and it's from 9 to 11:30 p.m. Also Saturday night in Fayetteville, Backspace is going to have a little bit of a fundraiser with a punk rock show. Drawing Blanks, Witch Sister, and Garden Snakes, which is kind of a newer band, they're going to play. Taking donations to help pay the rent for Backspace. They suggest a $5 donation at the door, and everything's supposed to get underway at about 9 p.m.
All right.
Moving back up I-49 to Bentonville, there's going to be kind of a folk and funk mini festival Saturday in Bentonville. OZ Trails Off-Road, which is at 220 North Main, they're going to have a kind of a mini festival featuring Smokey in the Mirror, Melody Pond, Emily Nance, Josh Norin, and then a funk band called Big Sam's Funky Nation. It's a lot of entertainment. It's a free event. And it's from,
free.
It's free. Absolutely
okay.
free.
All right.
And it's from 11 a.m. to about 9 p.m. Also Saturday in Bentonville, Crystal Bridges will close out their Force Concert Series season with Kaylin Fay and the Orchestral Pow Wow Project, which it's a lot of indigenous music that's in partnership with House of Songs Ozarks.
Okay.
As with the rest of the Force Concert Series, it's free for youth and members, $10 for everyone else, and it's from about 7 to 10 p.m. Saturday night. Moving on to Sunday, George's Majestic Lounge is going to have Colony House, which is a kind of an alt-rock band from Franklin, Tennessee. And also on the bill is Brother Moses.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Tickets for that show are $16 in advance, $18 day of, and it's supposed to get underway at about 8 o'clock Sunday night. And then finally on Sunday, Still on the Hill will be in Fayetteville.
Yes, the new project about Cane Hill is ready to go, and they'll be in the Star Theater. Mm-hmm. But Kelly Mulholland, one half of Still on the Hill, sent me an email and said, all the tickets have been taken for this one. But stick around. I'm about to talk to Kelly and Donna from Still on the Hill, and I'll tell you when you can see this show later. Many different places.
Sounds wonderful.
All right. Thank you, Timothy.
Thank you, Kyle.
Running on down to the mercantile as the sun was coming up. Donna and Kelly Mulholland, who are Still on the Hill, came to our studio recently to discuss their latest themed project. Earlier, similar CDs have celebrated the Buffalo River, the Ozarks, and Beaver Lake. Like those projects, Cane Hill involves a series of concerts around the region. The public debut of the music is this weekend at Walton Arts Center, but tickets for that concert are all gone. They'll also be performing at the Eureka Springs Folk Festival early next month, and future dates in Harrison, Springdale, and Rogers. The first song, this one that we're listening to right now on Still on the Hill's new CD, Cane Hill, lets an 8-year-old boy give us a tour of what the community might have been like nearly 100 years ago.
My next stop was the Cooper Ridge. I watched them bend them staves. Nothing but the finest oak, clear, straight, and aged. Sturdy apple barrels all lined up in a row. I dreamed that I might work there someday.
Kelly and Donna say to write that opening song on the CD, Cane Hill, they imagined themselves as that 8-year-old boy.
As he went from shop to shop, and he went, you know, he went
Mercantile and the Cooperage. I mean, a lot of people don't even know what a Cooperage is.
Barrels?
Barrels.
Yeah.
Is it
barrel
apple?
Staves.
They had huge apple orchards. And so, and then he'd visit the blacksmith and
the loafer's bench.
The loafer's bench.
Where the old men would whittle on the bench, and he'd hear stories. And yeah. So we figured that would be the perfect first song, just to kind of introduce the whole town as it was long ago.
So this was a commission.
It was.
I mean, it followed once a river, still a river.
Mm-hmm. It was. We were so pleased that the historic Cane Hill actually approached us, and they have a really energetic board. And one thing I love about the board of this organization is most of the people involved grew up there. And they are really, really attached to Cane Hill's history. So they actually approached us and wanted to see how we might be able to help draw attention to what they were working on. And we said, oh, well.
And they gave us the freedom to research. We spent a lot of time in their beautiful little museum just reading and learning about everything that was in the museum. A lot of our story songs came from the museum itself.
And we did interviews. Mm-hmm. We did quite a bit of research. But really, you know, they had seen us do the Buffalo River. They'd seen us do the Beaver Lake album. And so finally, somebody just came right up to us and said, what about this, you know? And we wish that would happen more often.
Well,
I can give you lists of things that I would like you to do.
Okay.
You probably expect to get, you know, to be able to pay rent and buy food when you do these things. Mm-hmm. So I can't help you there. So when you do these projects, there's history and legend, and you kind of let them meet. Because
right,
you don't always know all the facts behind the stories.
Absolutely. The one Molly song in particular, there's a painting in Cane Hill by Molly Mock and the three Mock sisters. We read the old catalog from the college, and we kind of pieced together it's slightly legend and slightly true.
They were from Prairie Grove.
They were
perfect. That's true.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, there's two or three songs in there you could really call fictional based on historical accounts. So yeah,
and then the other ones are true, every line from, true. But
when you first told me you were going to do this, I knew that there would have to be something about the Cane Hill hanging. That's one of the most infamous events that ever happened in that community.
Yes.
How do you know when you've got a song about an event like that? I mean, you can't just, I don't think you just sit down and say, okay, now I'm writing this.
Braggadocious schoolboys, before the fall comes the pride. And someone was hiding up on a rooftop, and no one ever knew who fired those pot shots. But those bullets brought some blue coats down, and a scapegoat must be found. And there would be a hanging in Cane Hill Town.
That was a difficult song because, first of all, it's just really about the chaos of war. There's no good guys or bad guys in this episode. You know, the Union soldiers victorious at Prairie Grove went on down to Cane Hill to celebrate, and in celebration they burned many homes and the college, and somebody took some pot shots at them. And, of course, the commander was furious, and then he decided to scapegoat three elderly men since they couldn't figure out who actually did it, and they hung the men. And the story, then unfolds. A young teenager actually risks her life and goes and cuts the men down in the night. So it's a harrowing story, and there's nothing good about it, but it seemed like it needed to be told. We kind of took a chance on that one. They don't know where the hanging tree is. They don't know if it even exists anymore. But there is a tree in downtown Cane Hill that is magnificent. It's a bur oak tree, and it is huge.
And old.
And we know, I feel pretty sure it was around during the Civil War.
And the perspective of that song is from the hanging tree's perspective. So.
Yeah. So we just pretended that was the tree.
Yeah.
But we make it clear that we don't know that.
You know, you ask the right person and they will tell you they do know it's the tree, even though they don't know it's the tree.
Right.
We've had some people say they know it's the tree and others say, no, we don't know.
Some of the board members of Historic Cane Hill are very much sticklers for accuracy.
Yes.
And that's good because somebody needs to keep an eye on us.
You know how you're reading the liner notes to a Still on the Hill album? There's a sentence like this. Every time we visit the Cane Hill Museum, we are drawn to a tiny metallic shoe.
Well, of course we are.
Exactly. Of course you are. That's the impetus for the song, The Charm.
Oh, and I love that little shoe, and I am drawn to it. It was a tiny shoe that looks exactly like the little metal shoe in the Monopoly game, but it was given to a teacher, Laura Houston, from one of her students, way before Monopoly was ever invented.
So
the mystery is, you know, did that shoe inspire the Monopoly shoe?
Right. And there's nobody that knows that. We just let the mystery be.
We play some children's bells on that because it's a teacher song. And we have some fun little instruments and unusual things to throw into the mix of the show.
Right.
Is there ever, even for 2 or 3 seconds, concern when you're doing a project like this, like, what if we don't have enough material?
Not on this one, because right after we met with the board and then we went to the museum, we could just smell that there was a whole bunch of stories.
Actually, there's more. There was some that we wanted to write that we didn't even. We have 12 songs on the CD, and we could have written more. It was a shoe-in. That's such a historic town. The Trail of Tears went through there.
Right, and you sing about that as well.
Yes, yeah.
We do, but not much detail, and so a lot of guesswork. But it's kind of just a sad reflection on this little girl.
Actually, I took that Susan Young from the Shiloh Museum of Ozark History in Springdale went to the old Carnahan Cemetery, which is one of the oldest cemeteries anywhere around here, and she had heard about Elsie Timberlake, this young girl that died near there, and the receipt for her coffin is in the museum, and she wrote this whole article that just moved me so deeply called Finding Elsie Timberlake. So I used hers. And then she also sent me a journal by B.B. Cannon. And he was the overseer that marched these people, the Timberlakes, all the way from Tennessee through Cane Hill. And he had a journal. And so I used his journal in the research for that song as well.
Cane Hill is small now and had decades of dormancy before this sort of revitalization. There were, you turned left if you, you know, around Prairie Grove if you wanted to go to Oklahoma. There was some pretty good barbecue there for a while. But there was a time before the Civil War when it was an important place, not just in Washington County, not just in Arkansas, but in this part of the country.
Mm-hmm. I think it was actually headed to be the nucleus of Northwest Arkansas, or the center point of population. I suppose ultimately the railroad made the decision to pass it up and left it high and dry, because before that, you're right, it had apple industry,
College.
It had the college.
The first college that allowed women. Mm-hmm. Very cool. It had a pottery factory.
Yes.
They dug the clay out of, I guess Cane Hill had the best clay for, we think it'd be so cool if some real young entrepreneurial potter would go and dig the actual clay and make pots out of Cane Hill clay again. That'd be so cool.
That kind of reminds me of the apples as well. The apple industry was huge, but it's all but disappeared. But I love this. In Springdale, there's that wonderful group of folks that put together the Black Apple Crossing where they're doing ciders.
Yeah.
Well, they are very interested in Cane Hill because they're interested in heirloom Arkansas apples. And so they have planted apple trees in Cane Hill to use in their business.
Wow.
I think 400 trees, a large number of trees.
I wonder how long it takes before we'll be able to taste cider from that. I mean, it's not going to be next year.
It'll be, I guess, a couple, at least, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah. Won't that be nice?
Yes.
It won't be nice. But, you know, the songwriting came fast. You know, Donna is quick. And we're meandering into a new process where Donna whacks out the songs quite quickly in a kind of a rough way. And then she gives them to me
in the raw
on a little tape recorder, you know, and then I take them and I do some editing and kind of some co-writing and putting in interludes. And then we get into the studio and we took about 4 or 5 months of work in the studio.
More like eight.
To put all the pieces together. And then after all that's done, this is so foreign to the most songwriters. It's after all that's done, then we have to listen to the CD and find out how in the world are we going to play this with just the two of us. Okay. So
that is backwards.
Usually you go into a studio knowing every song.
If you're going to play it live, you've got to figure out, okay, well, we can't do that.
Usually you've been playing it on stage. You've kind of got it all worked out. That's not the case. We had to, and we tried really hard. You know, we have lots of parameters, like we want to keep colorful, so we want it to be either banjo or mandolin or dulcimer or ukulele or guitar, or, you know, keep it constantly moving so that the texture's always changing.
Here's the potential danger I see for the two of you doing this, in that you write so quick and you can play anything, jawbones or whatever. So you're so creative when you're putting it together that when it is done, how do you recreate that sound if it's just going to be two of you on stage?
It's not the same animal anymore.
We have to step back and just hear it. I think it's harder for Kelly because he spends probably 80% in the studio to my 20, bass and upright bass and all the instruments that he plays and the arranging. And he gets real falls in love with the arrangements that are on the CD. And so when we do them in the more stripped down version, that's just what sounds like us.
Right.
And his ear wants to hear what he created on the CD.
Yeah, because let me give you the complete list of what is on this CD. Besides your voices, steel and nylon string guitars, banjo, Jim Lee's handmade 5-string banjo, pump organ, upright bass, harmonica, recorders, ukulele, melodica, mandolin, hand percussion, fiddle, mountain dulcimer, and of course, the jawbone.
That's right.
And he does it all except I get to play the fiddle. A jawbone.
And the dulcimer. I love the fretless banjo was kind of important on this. There's one song I really enjoyed doing was Booth Campbell was the town musician.
Yes.
And well-known, well-documented by Mary Parler, the song Catcher from Arkansas. And the collection actually resides at the University of Arkansas now. And so the committee really wanted a representation of Booth Campbell, and I think they're right to ask us. So we listened to the Mary Parler collection. We selected a really fun song called Goodbye, My Honey, I'm Gone.
Traditional song.
And then I had this very interesting fretless banjo. Since he was a fretless banjo player, I felt like I needed to do it on a fretless banjo. And we recorded it real old style. We got this old antique microphone in the middle of us, and we just whacked it out without any overdubs, you know, just raw.
Farewell, my sunny weather.
Thanks. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you.
As always, thank you.
Kelly and Donna Mulholland are still on the Hill, and their brand new CD is titled Cain Hill. Their first public performance of the songs is Sunday at Walton Arts Center, but all the tickets have been taken. Don't worry. Other public shows are scheduled, including a November 9th concert that will open the Eureka Springs Folk Festival at The Odd on November 9th, a performance at the Lyric Theater in downtown Harrison on December 15th, and a January 19th show at Shiloh Museum of Ozark History in Springdale. Still other shows in Little Rock, Tulsa, Rogers, and Bentonville have been scheduled. You can find the scheduled performances, as well as the CD, available at stillonthehill.com.
Thaden School is now accepting applications for grades 6 through 11 in the 2019-20 academic year. Located in downtown Bentonville, Thaden educates students from across Northwest Arkansas. THADENschool.org for more. 91.3 is supported by the City of Eureka Springs, featuring a variety of activities for the outdoor enthusiast of all ages. Eureka Springs is surrounded by various river and lake waterways, including Lake Leatherwood, a 1,600-acre city park crisscrossed with hiking and biking trails, and a spring-fed lake. Eureka Springs escape information at eurekasprings.org. Additional support comes from Butterfield Trail Village, a premier Northwest Arkansas retirement community catering to active lifestyles and resident well-being, offering daily activities, a variety of living options, plus wellness facilities, including an aquatic center and spa services. ButterfieldTrailVillage.org for more.
This Week in This American Life, our producer Zoe Chase was following Senator Jeff Flake during the days before the recent Kavanaugh hearing, the day of the hearing, and after. And she has stuff that you have not heard elsewhere. At one point, she was backstage with the senator during a moment that was straight out of Goodfellas, where one of the actual cast members from Goodfellas strongly encouraged Senator Flake to vote a certain way on the nomination. Anyway, that's this week.
Two opportunities every weekend to hear This American Life, Saturday mornings at 6, Sunday morning at 10, after Weekend Ozarks at Large. Both opportunities on 91.3 KUAF. And I'd like to take another opportunity to say thank you to everyone who did pledge financial support to 91.3 KUAF last month during our month-long fundraiser, and to those of you who called in and pledged online during last week's on-air fundraising portion of the fundraising month, thank you very much as well. As you heard Lee Wood say earlier this hour on Ozarks at Large, we appreciate very much what you do to allow us to stay on the air. If you'd like to make support to KUAF you didn't get to in September, or perhaps it is just now a brand new idea to you, you can do that at supportkuaf.com. A listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, and Berryville. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF, back tomorrow at noon and at 7 p.m. with another brand new edition of Ozarks at Large. Don't forget, you can also take us with you. We stream at KUAF.com, and the program is available as a podcast for absolutely no cost. You can do that through services like iTunes, Apple TV, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and many more that I probably don't even know about. And you can learn more about all of this at OzarksAtLarge.com. You'll want to listen to tomorrow's show. We're going to give away some tickets to Amy Helm. She's going to be at George's Majestic Lounge Friday night, October 12th at 8 p.m. We're going to launch a giveaway for Amy Helm tickets. So that will be on tomorrow's edition of Ozarks at Large. We'll end today's edition of Ozarks at Large with music from Brother Moses. This was recorded exclusively for us at the Carver Center for Public Radio. They're going to be at George's in October. First, tomorrow night, they'll be at Bike Rack Brewing in Bentonville. Then, Sunday, they'll be at George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville. You can learn more about Brother Moses and see their entire touring schedule at brothermoses.com. This is the song they recorded for us, titled
hopeless. Brother Moses, inside the Carver Center for Public Radio. Thanks again for being with us for part of your Wednesday. We very much appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow at noon and 7 with another brand new show.
Cast aside for TV and wishing and dreaming, but I'm still waiting on a sign. Like I believe in something, like something believes in me. But waiting is too easy, and wishing is too easy, and nothing which is easy will free me. And this is where I turn around and make my way back to reckless and naive, and I refuse to listen to the sound. Future is loud, but my friends are with me now. Now will last while I used to never smile. Show my teeth, won't be open, change, but all of my friends are with me now. I may lose my way, you know I've already lost it today. I admit to all of my crimes. No, I've been a fool so many times. Cause when a hopeless romantic finds love, then he's bound to start looking in places that he's not gonna find hope at all. I'm always gonna fall. It's not so hopeless after all. Patience, you know that I've been trying so hard. Well, that's a lie. Okay, I'll keep this clean, and I'll depict a different scene, and I'll try to be something that I'm not right now. But that's okay. I'll get up in the morning, and I'll only have to walk out the door one time. And no matter how it goes, well, I've been a mess before, and I could have been useless, but not something more. I admit to all of my crimes. No, I've been a fool so many times. When a hopeless romantic finds love, then he's bound to start looking in places that he's not gonna find hope at all. I'm always gonna fall. It's not so hopeless after all.